That's, at most, 1,000 hours a year of work. When a Kung bushman was asked once why his people hadn't taken to agriculture, he looked puzzled and said, "Why should we plant when there are so many Mongongo nuts in the world?" Or consider the life of a peasant in 18th century Europe. Men and women in those days probably worked from dawn to noon 200 days a year, which works out to about 1,200 hours of work annually. During harvest or spring planting, the day might be longer. In the winter, much less. In The Discovery of France, the historian Graham Robb writes that peasant life in a country like France, even well into the 19th century, was essentially brief episodes of work followed by long periods of idleness. 99% of all human activity described in this and other accounts of French country life, he writes, took place between late spring and early autumn. In the Pyrenees and the Alps, entire villages would essentially hibernate from the time of the first snow in November until March or April. In more temperate regions of France, where temperatures in the winter rarely fell below freezing, the same pattern held. Robb continues, "The fields of Flanders were deserted for much of the year." An official report on the Nièvre in 1844 described the strange mutation of the Burgundian day laborer once the harvest was in and the vine stocks had been burned. After making the necessary repairs to their tools, these vigorous men will now spend their days in bed, packing their bodies tightly together in order to stay warm and eat less food. They weaken themselves deliberately. Human hibernation was a physical and economic necessity. Lowering the metabolic rate prevented hunger from exhausting supplies. People trudged and dawdled, even in summer. After the revolution, in Alsace and the Pas-de-Calais, officials complained that wine growers and independent farmers, instead of undertaking some peaceful and sedentary industry in the quieter season, abandoned themselves to dumb idleness. If you were a peasant farmer in southern China, by contrast, you didn't sleep through the winter. In the short break marked by the dry season, from November through February, you busied yourself with side tasks. You made bamboo baskets or hats and sold them in the market. You repaired the dikes in your rice paddy and rebuilt your mud hut. You sent one of your sons to work in a nearby village for a relative. You made tofu and dried bean curd and caught snakes, they were a delicacy, and trapped insects. By the time the turning of the spring came, you were back in the fields at dawn. Working in a rice field is 10 to 20 times more labor-intensive than working on an equivalently sized corn or wheat field. Some estimates put the annual workload of a wet rice farmer in Asia at 3,000 hours a year. Think for a moment about what the life of a rice farmer in the Pearl River Delta must have been like. 3,000 hours a year is a staggering amount of time to spend working, particularly if many of those hours involve being bent over in the hot sun, planting and weeding in a rice paddy. What redeemed the life of a rice farmer, however, was the nature of that work. It was a lot like the garment work done by the Jewish immigrants to New York. It was meaningful. First of all, there is a clear relationship in rice farming between effort and reward. The harder you work a rice field, the more it yields. Second, it's complex. The rice farmer isn't simply planting in the spring and harvesting in the fall. He or she is effectively a small businessman, juggling a family workforce, hedging uncertainty through seed selection, building and managing a sophisticated irrigation system, coordinating the complex process of harvesting the first crop while simultaneously preparing the second crop.